So as I mentioned, that we are going to use MLL and sufficient statistics for a speaker identification problem, but we're not going to doing any speech recognition as such in this particular paper. And the idea is that we're looking specifically at a task where if there are a large number of speakers and you want to identify one of them, then we want to do it in a computationally efficient way. So this work was actually done by my students, Achintya Sarkar and Shakti Rath, and I'm Umesh. So just to give you a brief overview of the talk, I'm just going to go briefly about the speaker identification problem, that is identifying one out of a set of L speakers. And I'll talk about the commonly used techniques such as using map adaptation followed by topsy mixture-based likelihood estimation. And then this is the stage where we show that this is actually, if you have a large number of speakers, then evaluating the likelihood across all the speakers and then choosing the best one is obviously very computationally expensive when the number of speakers in the population become very large. And so we're proposing to use MLLR matrices for the adaptation of the speaker models. The reason is that then we just need to have the MLLR matrices, and we show that, you know, if you have the MLLR matrices, then estimating the likelihood for the different speakers is a very, very fast step. It just involves the matrix multiplication with the MLLR row vectors. And so we give you some comparison of the performance with the conventional GMM-UBM-based method, where we show that although the MLLR system is fast, it will give you some degradation in performance, and therefore, finally, we propose some sort of a cascade system where the MLLR system will reduce the search space from this huge population, and then the final GMM-UBM system can, you know, look at the small set of speakers and identify the best speaker from that set. So this is the basic flow of the talk. So as I said, the idea is that I'm doing speaker identification. So there are L speakers. It's a closed set, so assuming that there are L speakers in the population. So given the test feature, we're going to actually find the likelihood with respect to all of these L models and choose the one that maximizes the model. Okay? And obviously, if the number of speakers in the population is large, then I have to evaluate for each and every speaker in the population. And therefore, you know, the computation complexity keeps growing as L, the number of speakers in the population, becomes large. So one of the conventional methods, or one of the most popular methods that is used for speaker identification, pretty much the same thing is used for speaker verification, I assume, is that we will be using, you know, given a universal background model, for each of the speakers, we basically do a map adaptation to get the speaker models from the universal background model. So these are the purple, you know, speaker adapted models. And then, as Doug Reynolds pointed out, that there is a fast way that you can do the scoring still, and that is that given that there are L such models, we first align the test data with respect to the UBM and find the top C mixtures for that particular test data. And so when you want to evaluate the likelihood, you don't have to compute all the likelihoods with each of those 2048 mixtures, assuming that there are 2048 in the background model for each of the speaker models. Instead, you have the first evaluation with respect to all the 2048 from the UBM, but then for each of the speaker models, you just need C of those mixtures to be evaluated. So, but nevertheless, as L becomes large, there is a large increase in the computation. So it's still, as we will show, is expensive, especially when L becomes large. So what we're proposing is a little more, it's again adaptation, but we are saying that instead of doing map adaptation, why don't we build the speaker models using just MLLR adaptation? So the idea is that for each speaker, given that we already have the UBM model, we are going to use, instead of map adaptation, actually have a speaker model, which is now done through MLLR speaker adaptation. So this is where I think the confusion came. So we are using MLLR, and that's about all that we are borrowing it from the speech recognition literature. So each of the speaker is now basically, the means of the speaker model is nothing but a matrix transformation of the means of the universal background model. So the idea is that I just need this matrix, the MLLR matrix, to characterize a speaker. So in essence, we are not forming individual speaker models. except that each speaker is now characterized by his or her respective MLLR matrix. So this is the stage that we actually build the speaker-specific MLLR matrix. And then the speaker identification problem becomes one of where we have L such MLLR matrices instead of L such models. And of course, these matrices are going to be operating on the universal background model. And so again, the likelihood calculation essentially boils down to finding out the test utterance. Given the test utterance, what is the likelihood with respect to the background model, which remains same, and each of these L matrices, okay, which are already stored since we've done MLL adaptation for each of these individual speakers. So at this point, it still looks like we need to compute all the L likelihoods, and therefore it is still looks like, I mean, we haven't solved anything as yet. But the advantage is that if I want to compute these individual likelihoods, now it's very, very simple. All that I need to do is just do some matrix multiplications to get the likelihoods for each of the individual speaker. So the idea is again borrowed, this is again borrowed from speech recognition literature, because MLLR basically, basically using the equations from the MLLR matrix estimation. So we have the usual auxiliary function. In conventional speech recognition, what you would do if you're doing MLLR estimation is actually trying to estimate this matrix WS given the utterance, the test or the adaptation data X. Okay, so the idea is that given the adaptation utterance X, what is the matrix, or what are the elements of the matrix that will maximize the likelihood? Okay, in this case, the auxiliary function that we are looking at. So we are now reposing the same problem in a speaker identification framework. So the idea is now I already know the L speaker matrices. For each individual speaker, I already know the MLLR matrix. And therefore, the problem is now one of finding out which of those L matrices maximizes the likelihood. So in this case, I am not estimating the MLLR matrices. I have already pre-computed the MLLR matrices and stored for each of the individual speakers. And the only thing that I'm trying to maximize here is trying to maximize or choose one of those L MLLR matrices that maximizes the likelihood. And this is very, very efficiently done, as I'll just show you. That's again borrowed from speech recognition. So what we would do is that we already have these L matrices, each of which are now represented by the row vectors W1 to WD. These are row vectors, actually. And in MLLR, you will see that these row vectors are what are estimated when you do actually speaker adaptation. Here, these are already pre-computed and stored, and so we're only computing the likelihood here. So why is it efficient? So as I said, again, I had to compute all the L likelihoods, but I can do that very, very, very efficiently. Why do you say that so many varies? Because I just need to do one alignment of the data with respect to UBM, and that's exactly the same thing that is normally done in MAP plus TOPC likelihood estimation. I have to have first an alignment to find out which are the mixtures that are dominant. So that step is exactly the same as what you would do with MAP plus TOPC. The extra step that we do, which is again borrowed from speech recognition, is basically compute for this given test utterance the corresponding sufficient statistics KI and GI. Okay, GI. So these are sufficient statistics that are computed depending on the alignment and the data that's given here. So this is the alignment, and then there's the data that comes in. Okay, and so for each of the L speakers now, I just do one matrix multiplication using these K and G, statistics. So this K and G is computed only one, irrespective of the number of speakers. But the likelihood calculation now uses this individual row vectors from the corresponding speaker MLLR matrix. So this is of dimension D. So each row vector basically is borrowed for that particular speaker. So if it's speaker X, I borrow her ith row, and this is just a matrix multiplication. So in essence, this is the most crucial step that is happening, and that is that the likelihood can be easily computed for each of those L speakers by using their corresponding MLLR matrices and doing only a matrix multiplication on KI and GI. Okay? And that's where we get the maximum gain in performance. So in computation time. So just to go through the overview, so given the feature vector, I'm assuming that already I have taken and the individual speakers' training data and computed the MLLR matrices for all the L speakers. And so given a test feature, I first do an alignment with the background model and also compute the KI and GI statistics. This is only done once using the X, the test feature, and the UBM model. And then with respect to each of those matrices, I just need to compute by multiplying this matrix with the statistic to get the corresponding likelihood. So this is very computationally efficient because it only involves matrix multiplication at this step. Please stop me if you have any questions. So so the proof in the pudding is basically to go through some of the time and complexity analysis. So what we are doing is now we're comparing the conventional map plus TOPSI approach, which I call as GMM-UBM, and then the fast MLLR system. That's one that where we have this L MLLR matrices that capture the speaker characteristics. And what is shown on the left graph is basically, this is again borrowed from the NIST 2004 data. So we have two different tests, basically one 10-second speech and the other is a one-side speech. So if you use the, and there are 300 such six speakers in this identification task. So what we're trying to do is identify, given the test data, to identify from one of these 306 models. And so there's both the 10-second and the one-side case. So the blue is basically what's a conventional approach. Here we have taken the C to be top 15. And you see that obviously there is a degradation in performance in the case of MLLR. It's about, we'll analyze this in a little more detail. And for the one-second speech, the GMM-UBM obviously does better, and therefore also there's a corresponding improvement for the MLLR case, but again, there is a gap between the performance in the conventional case and our proposed approach. But the advantage comes in the right half of the figure, which shows here we are just using a fixed computer configuration and trying to find out the average time that's taken per utterance to estimate or to identify the optimal speaker. So this is some measure that we have used. So we can see that there is a huge gain in terms of complexity, in terms of computation time. While this takes about 7.3 seconds on an average, this takes about a second on an average for the 10-second data for those 306 speakers. And when the test data obviously becomes larger, it's obviously going to take much more time to compute, and that takes about 44 seconds versus 4 seconds for the MLLR. So the bottom line is you get a huge gain. It's about like 1:7 or 1:10 when you use fast MLLR. So this is useful if you have, let's say, 1,000 speakers in your task and you want to identify which one of them is the one that spoke the utterance. But then there's a downside, that is you lose some in terms of performance. So you can see that there is some loss in performance. And obviously when the sentences are larger, the GMM-UBM takes a lot more time, and that's why you gain more when you have longer utterances to deal with. So as I said, again, this is a little more analysis, a little more details of what's happening between the proposed fast MLLR system and the GMM-UBM. As I said, since the likelihood even for the top C have to be computed as the number of speakers, so this left-hand figure shows the computation time as the number of speakers in the database increases. So as the number of speakers increase, so the blue line is a conventional approach. If it's 10 seconds, obviously it's going to take less time than if it's a one-side speech. So, but you can see that there is a sort of a linear relationship with the number of speakers in the database. So as the number of speakers in the database increases, the computation time is also going to linearly increase. On the other hand, if you look at the MLLR system, which is almost this brown sort of a dotted line, it's almost flat as the number of speakers increases. And that's because the main complexity comes basically in trying to do the alignment and things like that. The actual likelihood estimation does not depend much, does not grow significantly with the number of speakers because we are just matrix multiplications with the MLLR matrix. So you can see that if this population goes to 1,000, there's going to be a huge gain in terms of computation time. The other interesting thing is obviously that if I'm trying to identify the N-best performance, that is, of these two systems, that is, if I look at the top 50 speakers, how often do the current speaker occur in this top 50 or top N? We see as the number of speakers in the top N increases, obviously they both start converging. And so the blues are the GMM UBM, and the red, I mean, the browns are the MLLR. So the performance, sort of the top end performance, that is identifying at least in the top 100, is similar as far as both these systems go. So there's they start converging towards each other. So we thought that we could sort of exploit the advantages of both the GMM UBM, which obviously is superior to MLR in terms of performance, and still get some computational gain by using the MLLR to identify from the population of 1,000 or something the top 100 or 150 speakers, and then use only those use that reduced set of speakers in the final GMM UBM system. So that's what we call as a cascade system. So the idea is that I will use the fast MLLR system to first take the test returns and reduce the search space for the speakers. So we identify the top 100 or top 20 or top 30 speakers, depending on, as we'll show, it has an impact on the performance. And then we let the conventional GMM UBM operate only on these reduced set of speakers to identify the best speaker. Okay, and this is basically the same thing in implementation, which basically shows that we don't lose much in terms of additional costs in computation. So the conventional approach would have taken the test feature, and you would have done an alignment with the UBM, found out the top C mixtures, and used the GMM UBM based system to actually identify the speaker. We are exactly doing the same thing. There's an alignment step that goes on here, but we do an additional computation of the sufficient statistics. This is only done once. And then we have the MLLR system, which is done in the training phase. So in the training phase, we have already built the MLLR matrices for each of these individual speakers. So using this statistics, the feature, and the MLLR matrices, we identify the N most probable speakers. And once we identify the N most probable speakers, we feed it to the GMM UBM system to get the final identified speaker. So in both cases, the alignment is only done once, and so with respect to the UBM. So as I said, there's a compromise between complexity and performance. So if I look at the N best performance, that is, if I reduce a set of speakers to only the top 10, then the performance for this is for the 10 second case, there is a degradation performance. But if I allow 20 speakers, the degradation decreases. And so when I go to top 30, the performance is, there's still a degradation. Obviously, if I there will be some hit in performance, but the hit is not very significant. But on the other hand, even for top 30, I do get significant gain in terms of computational complexity. So as the number of speakers increases, the backend, that is the GMM UBM system, has to work on more number of speakers, and therefore obviously the computation time is going to go up, and therefore the speed up is going to reduce. But still, it's significant. I mean, you do get some, five times more gain in terms of computation. This sort of same thing is repeated for the one side. The problem with the one side is, of course, we're dealing almost with a huge amount of data, 5 seconds, 5 minutes of speech. So again, if you look at the top, N best, if it's 10 top 10, then obviously there's a huge hit in performance, 2.5% absolute loss. But if I go to the top 40, then I get only about half, 0.7% degradation. But in the top N based method, when you have larger segments, it is the back end. Even though I reduce the number of speakers to 40, the back end GMM still has to operate with all these 40 speakers. And therefore, compared to the 10 second speech, you see that the gains are not that significant, but still you get about almost 3 times computational gain. So this is a basic idea of our proposed method. So we have a compromise, so you can actually put the operating point at any of these N best, and you will get corresponding gain in performance, but a hit in terms of computation time. So this is what we have. So basically, we are using the idea of exploiting MLLR matrices to do fast likelihood calculation for the speaker models. But using MLL adaptation does decrease the performance slightly, or I mean significantly, depending on whether you use top 10 or top 40. And therefore, this tuning parameter is n, the n best that you choose to reduce the search space. So as you increase n, you get better accuracy, but it gets hit in the in terms of computation time. So for this 300 speakers, six speakers that you took from the NIST database, if you choose the top 10, then you get these as the performance degradation speed up. For the one side, for the top 20, you get about 3.16 and 1.04 loss. So this is basically it. So.
So it's time for questions. Thank you very much.
Hello. To achieve the same results in both systems, you need in one system to use top 15 and in the other, suppose, the top 40. In your using matrix, you need more top candidate to choose if you want to achieve the same performance.
Right.
Do you have some results of speed up when you said, I want to achieve that same performances, not to stay in the same end best?
So I, for some reason, MLL, maybe others can help me out. MLL adaptation obviously always has some hit compared to map. Is that generally true? I think that's what we notice. So whether you go to top 100 or top 200, you will get closer and closer to the conventional GMM-UVM, but you will never get exactly the same. So you are always going to get some hit in performance. And as you go closer to the complete set, obviously your gain in computation time is going to be, I mean, you're going to lose and you're going to get comparable performance. So what you're gaining is that you will have to take some hit in performance. How much hit in performance is in your hand? And depending on how much you're willing to go down in hit in performance, you can get that much more gain in speed up. So your question is, can I ever achieve GMM-UVM performance and still get a speed up? I'm not sure about that. I think you will have some hit always.
Yeah. In my experience with feature recognition, with MLL, I need more training data than map adaptation. This is what I noticed, so maybe this is the reason.
Pardon?
I said that in speech recognition, I noticed that if I use MLLR, I need more adaptation data than map adaptation.
No, it's
this is my experience.
The opposite is true, right? I mean, the more data you have, map is always better than MLLR, right?
This is what I this is what I know.
So,
too,
but I mean, we do MLLR because
I do FMLR and MLLR too. Both
yeah, but they both, the constraint MLLR is same.
This is what I said in my experience. I know that.
But normally, most conventional cases, if you have enough data, map obviously we should do better than MLLR.
Okay. If I understood it well, in the case of MLLR, you collect the sufficient statistics, but in the case of GMM-UBM, you evaluate things frame by frame, like you have this top N evaluation, right?
Correct.
But you could use the same trick, right? So you could actually collect the sufficient statistics for even for the evaluation of the map adapted model.
Okay, just a minute. Yeah. So what is your question?
I'm just saying that you claim that the speed up comes from collecting the sufficient statistics and then evaluating the MLLR system quickly.
Right.
But you could use the same trick with the map adapted model. You can actually collect the sufficient. You can evaluate the auxiliary function, the ML auxiliary function, instead of evaluating things frame by frame, which we know that works as well as evaluating GMM frame by frame and using the top N scoring.
So you're saying I could do a similar thing for map? I mean, I could collect the sufficient statistics?
Exactly, yes. And which would probably, this is what we do, and this leads to much faster. I said it would be probably even faster than this MLLR scoring without losing any performance.
Okay. So you're saying I could as well do this for map, right? Why do it for MLLR? Is that the question?
I just think that you are basically comparing two different things. I mean, if you wanted to come with fair comparison, you should be evaluating both methods with the sufficient statistics, and then I guess that they would be about the same fast, but the MLLR, the map-based would still work better than.
Is that true? I'm not very familiar, so maybe I should ask, because why do we always then worry about the top 15, top C mixtures, 5 mixtures, or top 10?
Well, we don't do that anymore.
Okay, so maybe, okay, so I should, yeah, thanks.
So going back to your original premise that you had here was about that you were primarily focused on speed, right? You're saying that you're dealing with large
right.
population sets.
Right.
But I also gather, since you were comparing about durations, it wasn't just the large population set, it was the duration of the test utterance itself in scoring large population sets, right? A 10-second versus a full side. And you were comparing, that was one of the comparisons you had. So obviously the MLLR approach you have is done kind of independent of the, except for the UBM stats, is independent of the duration of the test utterance.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, one other approach that people have taken, this has been well published in speech recognition, other ones, is why didn't you look at the notion of the beam pruning? I mean, that's a well-known thing that you do, beam pruning. As frames come in, a lot of hypotheses
yeah.
will drop off very quickly. So the top C won't necessarily have to go through and keep 120 at any time. And in fact, it can, if your speed is your real concern, ultimately you can bail out early.
Yeah. So actually, we have, although we mentioned in the papers that, I mean, this, there are other methods that you can use to worry about speed up, you know, for example, pruning or, you know, downsampling and things like that. Yes, I mean, we're not saying that this is the only way of, you know, doing fast computation. This is one of the ways that we could possibly do. That's all we're suggesting.
Right, but so my question to you is more as in a research paper is, you chose this method and your baseline was full frames without the classical other ways of speeding up. Why did you use that as your baseline?
So even in the case of pruning, I'm sure you're going to get some hit in performance. I don't think you can absolutely get the same performance as you do with GMM UBM, right? Do you? Because
pretty close.
It's possibility that while you're pruning, you're going to lose some speakers out. Is that correct? I mean, so this would be the ultimate upper bound, which one would try to achieve, I would think, right?
Okay. So you wanted to not have those errors
yeah.
introduced, using that as more as a gold standard.
Right.
Okay.
So the performance of your system is a function of a number of different parameters, and in order for me to get a sense of this, well, you know, I have to admit I'm an engineer, so I like to think about how am I going to actually use this. And so I would like to, can you tell us about, this is obviously motivated by some kind of application. Could you describe the application?
In this case, it's the converse. I mean, we just thought that there's a neat way of, you know, computing the likelihoods in an efficient manner. And I'm sure there are lots of applications, maybe in audio indexing or somewhere, where you might be having large population of speakers and you might want to identify somebody in a big database. So we haven't specifically looked at any particular application. We just felt that, you know, there are lots of applications possibly, at least in, you know, where the huge audio databases and one is interested, then something like this might work. So we were driven the opposite way rather than the way that we had an application, and therefore we wanted to find out a way of...
I guess I'm less confident than you are in what the application space offers. I would like to know more about these applications, but that's for this break.
Did you try to use more than one MLLR transformations per speaker?
Yeah, we could do, but we haven't done that. Yeah, I mean, that's something that we are, you know, thinking of doing, yeah, but we haven't. But it should not, you know, it should hopefully improve, but we have not looked at it.
Okay.
Hello. So how does this,
It would be interesting to compare the type of scoring you're doing with another type of scoring where once you have the sufficient statistics for the test utterance, you actually get an MLLR transform for that test utterance as well, and then compare the MLLR transforms for the model and the test utterance, whether by doing an inner product or an SVM.
So you could have, I mean, we are just using like, so you're saying that given the test utterance, I could use the test vector's MLLR and compare it with the speaker's MLLR. That's possible.
And it will probably be more efficient because once you get to the MLLR matrix, the dimension is lower than your sufficient statistics. I mean, your sufficient statistics live in the, you have to consider how many.
No. These are just those, the dimensionality will be same as what your feature vectors are, basically. That's it.
Okay.
So this is very, very small in size.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.
Thanks
very much. And